The reading is taken from Philippians, beginning at chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize, for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to that which we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. This is the word of the Lord.
So it's great to be preaching this afternoon and following on in this great series we've got called Unchained, based on the book of Philippians. And loved Keith's talk last Sunday. And of course, at the nub of what Keith was saying last Sunday was that he was explaining that Paul had written about how worthless religion is. Religion being empty, dead, just a bunch of legalistic do's and don'ts, rules and regulations, ceremonies and rituals. You see, Paul wasn't interested in any of that. He's not interested in a Christian religion. He's interested in a Christian faith. He's not interested in knowing about Jesus, he's interested in knowing Jesus. He wants a spiritual life, a spiritual power. Now, there's an awful lot to unpack in this passage, but it has one big idea. Become who Christ has called you to become. Experience the life Christ has called you to live. That's our goal, and we're going to go and unpack it now. I can't wait. So let's get stuck into it. Now, Paul admits he hasn't taken hold of it. He's not crossed the line yet, but he knows exactly what he's aiming for, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And Christ took hold of him and takes hold of us out of his love to forgive us our sins, to justify us before God so we can become sons and daughters, heirs to his kingdom. That is why Christ took hold of us, and that is why we need to take hold of his offer of grace. So what is the one thing Paul does? Let's read this again. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. Becoming who Christ has made you means forgetting what is behind. For Paul, there was an awful lot to forget. He, let's not forget, had been persecuting Christians. He'd even looked after the cloaks of the party that had stoned the first martyr, Stephen. He was hell-bent on killing and arresting as many Christians as possible. Now, let me ask you this. Have any of you done things that are holding you back? Has anyone here made any mistakes that perhaps haunt you? Anyone here with a life being lived under the shadow of past failures or setbacks? A divorce, perhaps? A sacking? Perhaps a redundancy? A period of ill health? An abortion? The truth is that there isn't a single person on this planet chasing after who Christ calls them to be, who isn't constantly having to move on after sin and failure, guilt and shame, discouragement and defeat. So if that's you, welcome to the club. I'm part of that club, very much so. Now, the difference between those who do inch closer towards the goal Paul is talking about and those who make little or no progress is that the former never let failure be final. They don't let that be the defining mark, the defining reality of their spiritual life. Because the defining reality of their life is becoming who Christ calls them to become. They bend the knee of their heart, ask forgiveness, drink deeply from the well of grace, and then get moving forward again. We've got to be doing that. There's no other way forward than to deal with it and move on. And leave it behind, as dealt with. Leave it at the foot of the cross. It's done with. Jesus has dealt with. And we mustn't let it haunt us. We mustn't let those things like circle around our memories, our hearts and our souls, forever condemning us. Remember, forgetting what is behind you and strain toward what is ahead. Press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called you. Now let's be really honest here. It's not easy to do. It really isn't. How easy is it to forget something as massive as a divorce, to kind of leave it behind? Has anyone ever felt that something is holding you back? That memories of past hurts and failures keep coming back to accuse you? Because this forgetting and letting go of the past is so important, you can be sure that Satan will oppose you. What Satan wants, of course, is for you to wallow in your past failures. He wants you to give in to the guilt, to be stuck and not to move forward, to feel unworthy of God's love and mercy, to have your sin and failure be how you think of yourself, how you define yourself, instead of chasing the call of Christ to be all he is calling you to be and that you can be. When it comes to sin and failure in your life, the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict you of it, to show you that it's not how you are meant to live. His goal, the Holy Spirit's goal, is to have you turn from it. That's what the word repentance means. To tell you that you are better than that. The thing about conviction is that it's always about a turn to the positive. But that's not what the evil one wants to do with your sin and your failure. He doesn't convict, he accuses. He whispers, it's like having something on your shoulder whispering into your ear. He whispers, "Who do you think you are? You call yourself a Christian? Or are you thinking about being a Christian? You can't be a Christian, you're way too bad. Let's just replay in your head what you've done, how you've lived, what happened last night. That'll convince you that you're never good enough. You're never good enough." But that's the voice of the evil one. It is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts, but it is only Satan who accuses. One says, forget and move forward. The other says, remember and stay back. Now, I hope you get the difference. Why? Why is it important? Well, so you know when to accept the conviction but reject the accusations. Remember, forgetting what is behind you and straining forward to what is ahead. Press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called you. Now, I hope I've explained why it's so important to forget what is holding you back. I'm now going to explain that there is something else you need to be forgetting about as well. So what is the other thing that is important to forget? This one is quite counterintuitive. So on top of forgetting failure, you need to forget success. And here is why. Now, say that some of you have made some great progress, gained some knowledge, been reading the Bible, you've had some spiritual highs, you've come with a church to Focus, or you've done Spring Harvest, you've tasted some spiritual breakthroughs, you've had some great answers to prayer, you've really felt that you have been perhaps filled with the Holy Spirit. But you need to forget that too. You remember Paul's opening words. He says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. So what he's saying is, I haven't arrived, and the minute I think I have, I'll stop pursuing with intensity all that Jesus has ahead of me. He knows he hasn't reached the goal. He hasn't reached the prize yet. So he forgets past accomplishments to keep his eyes on what he has not accomplished, because that's the only way he knows he'll have the drive to continue. This is what spiritual drive is all about, and I wonder how many of you are still spiritually hungry. We've all got things in our lives that drive us. People in lockdown have shown huge drive in all sorts of things. For example, home improvements, killing lots of mice in my attic, DIY, watching box sets, for example. But ask yourself, have I shown as much drive in deepening my relationship with God? And I suspect for many of us, the answer is no. Are you, in a sense, resting on the laurels of past spiritual success? I remember when. I've been guilty of that. And I wonder if you've had those past experiences, in a sense, whether you've allowed them to quash your spiritual fire. So the message is, forget it all. None of it matters as much as about what you're going to be about today, now. Because if Paul hadn't arrived yet spiritually, guess what? You and I haven't either. Your past obedience is great, but you can't rest on it. In the best sense, you have to, in all humility, just forget about it and move on. You need a holy discontent, a divine dissatisfaction about the state and progress of your spiritual life. So strain towards that finish line. Keep going. Press on. Don't be distracted. Don't be held back by the past, whether that be failures or successes. And persevere. I remember thinking about perseverance. I tried to get into the Special Air Service many, many years ago. And It was January and we were in the hills in Wales around Penyffan, and of course the weather was absolutely filthy, and the DS, the directing staff, used to try and make it as easy as possible to distract you, to call you away, to it was called VW, voluntary withdrawal. And so you turn up at a checkpoint in the middle of the night, freezing cold rain, and they'd say, hey, just do you want a cup of tea? You could just climb into the back of the four tonner, get warm, rest, you get your sleeping bag out, we'll get you back to camp within a couple of hours. Just that's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. Of course, it meant failing the course. And I'd be lying if I said that at every checkpoint it didn't cross my mind. But you need to keep going. Don't let anything distract you from straining towards that goal. None of us will reach at this side of the grave, but we will have that crown of eternal life waiting for us. But we need to keep going, avoid distractions, and don't let anything in the past hinder you and hold you back. Now, I don't know about what you need to forget. I don't know where you have taken your eyes off of what you should be striving for. And I don't know where you are needing to press on spiritually the most right now. But I do know one thing. If you do forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead and press on, keep running, keep persevering, no matter what it takes, your Heavenly Father will meet you there and see you over the finish line. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, so many of us will have things in our past of which we are deeply ashamed, and which, if we're honest, will hold us back, and which the enemy, if we're not careful, will accuse us about over and over again, whispering lies into our ears that we are unworthy of your love. If that's you, if that resonates with you, I just want you to, sitting at home, perhaps just put your hands out in front of you. Heavenly Father, I just pray for anyone out there now for whom this really resonates, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit now, that whilst your Spirit brings conviction, your Spirit also brings great healing. And so I pray for anyone who's struggling with the words of the accuser whispering in their ears, that you would help them discern that, help them to put a nail in the lies of the enemy, and help them to accept your grace, that tomorrow will be a new day. Today will be in the past, and we can leave all those things that entangle us and hold us back in the past, knowing that they have been dealt with, Lord Jesus Christ, by you through your death on the cross. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.